You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, I'm begging you, call me Sully. This show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend Tripp. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, and get rewarded. You can listen to this show on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, the brand new, free, and super easy to use Himalaya Podcast app. You know how to listen to podcasts. You're listening to one right now. You can check us out on the site, LockedOnMLB.com. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnMLB. Follow us on Instagram, the same handle. You can follow me at Twitter at Sully Baseball. And on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. Why the different handle? Someone else took Sully Baseball on Instagram. Oh, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Well, folks, here we are. The second half of the season is up and going. Games are being played. And one of the teams that has been either in the postseason hunt or hovering around it has been the Milwaukee Brewers, who have had, I'll be kind, a weird first half of the season. But who am I to talk about the Milwaukee Brewers? I'm not Robin Yount. I'm not Teddy Higuera. I'm not Jim Gantner. I've been to a Brewers game, but I am not a Brewer at heart. So let me tell you, I brought in, and he's clicky-clacking right now, the host of the Locked On Brewers Network, one of my compadres, in Locked On Baseball Land. The host of Locked On Brewers Podcast is Ben Larson. He just happens by sheer coincidence to be on Skype with me right now. Ben Larson, how the heck are you?
Hey, pretty good, Sully. Appreciate you having me on to talk about, yeah, weird is putting it kindly, first half. Brewer Nation is a little freaked out right now, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I do something called the summer score, which is I keep track of how many days a team is in a playoff spot. And I keep a score on it, like games in July are worth more than games in June. And I try to see who will have the highest number at the end of the year, because I think a team's job is to give a fan base a fun summer. That's their job. And if you wake up in the morning and say, hey, my team's in a playoff spot, you're having a fun summer. And I start it on Memorial Day, because to me, that's the first third of the season. You can't tell who is what. But starting Memorial Day to the rest of the year, who has the highest score is the teams that, you know, that gave their fans the biggest summer. The Brewers were in a playoff spot every single day from Memorial Day right up until the day before the All-Star game. And then they fell out as of this recording. Somehow the bumbling, stumbling Phillies are a game ahead of them in the loss column. Now, the Brewers, what's going on? They looked like they were going to be the team that was going to repeat as National League Central champions at one point. And they were in first place by themselves for, I believe, at one point in certainly in June. And yeah, I think even in July at one point.
Yeah. No, I mean, the entire division is so mediocre. And the Brewers were looking good. They were 10 games over 500 after having kind of ironically swept the Pittsburgh Pirates back on June 9th. And since then, they've gone, I believe, 9-15 or 8-15, something like that, to drop to 3 games over .500. And, you know, they went through a whole month where their starting pitching was atrocious. 6.5 ERA, guys getting lit up. It was not pretty then. Late June, they turned that around, and they've had, I think, 9 of 10 starts where guys were actually very good.
Right.
But then
they couldn't hit
to save their lives right now. So they haven't been able to put it all together, and that's classic, right, for a team hovering around the 500 mark. That's usually what you'll get. And here we are in this crazy National League Central division, the mediocrity division of baseball. It's very mediocre special, I guess you'd call it. I don't know. But it's a mess. You know, 4.5 games separate the entire division. It's crazy.
Now, are they contractually obligated to play the Pirates 20 times each month?
Oh, my God.
They played them 3 times in June, then 3 more times in June, Then three times in July. What is happening in the scheduling department? Why don't they just have them? Why don't we call them the Pittsburgh Brewers? I mean, what's going on here?
Grand total of 13 times in the 7 weeks before the All-Star break. And I'm sick of the Pirates, and I think the Pirates are sick of the Brewers. Brewers actually were 8-2 in their first 10 games before having the series taken from them over the weekend here before the All-Star break. Right. So they had actually done pretty well against the Pirates, but they had that. They also had early in the season, very early, I think it was 10 games in like 3 weeks against the Cardinals, and now they won't see them again until I think late this month. So yeah, go figure with the schedule maker. It gets annoying, right? I know you have to, I know it's hard and you have to get all these teams in your division, but man, tired as heck of as hell, whatever you want to say, playing the Pirates. Yeah. I'm done with that team for a while.
Yeah, please. We're trying to not get an explicit rating here.
Sorry.
But okay. So this is a team that last year at one point had a lead in game 7 of the National League Championship Series. They had an early lead before Yasiel Puig and company started hitting home runs.
Yeah.
This team has no lack of power. Obviously, Yelich is he's having another MVP caliber season. I mean, if Bellinger tails off, Yelich has as good a chance as any of to catch him. They got a lot of pop from Grandal. They got a lot of pop from Moustakas. Ryan Braun is still hanging around insulting delivery men and hitting homers. Sorry, I can't help it. Josh Hader is still he's striking out 4 batters per inning. I don't know how that's possible, but he finds a way to do it. And you know, obviously Brandon Woodruff is having a fine season. So what is it? Is it the starting pitching that's falling? What's falling apart here, and what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I'll do everything I can. 5 All-Stars on this team, so you know, and they're all deserved. So you know, they've been having some good players on this team. The holes have been gigantic.
Which All-Star did I miss?
Oh, so you got Hader, Woodruff, Yelich, Moustakas, and Grandal.
Oh, I forgot Moustakas was on the All-Star team. Okay, fine. Yep. My bad.
No, don't worry. So you got a lot to keep track of. It's okay.
That's true. It's true.
The holes, though, offensively, let's start there, have been gigantic. You had Travis Shaw basically falling off the face of the earth. He's in AAA now. They had no choice but to send him down because he was batting .160. I mean, it was terrible. Here's a 30 home run guy, 25 double guy, the last 2 years, right? A staple at third base, and they had to ship him down because he's in a massive slump. Jesus Aguilar, who had a bunch of home runs, you know, in the first half, carried the Brewers first half last year.
Yeah.
Couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag. They had to stick with him because he didn't have any options. He's finally starting to pick it up a little bit, but massive hole there. Lorenzo Cain, who, you know, has been so good, won a World Series and got to 2 World Series with Kansas City, came to the Brewers as a free agent, had a great year last year, batting over .300. As a leadoff guy, he's been hurt and he can't seem to get better. And he's really fighting it right now at the plate. Can't set the table the way he did last year for the offense. So they have these players who are having great offensive years and then huge holes in the lineup. They can't sustain rallies. And in the last couple weeks, it's really looked bad because when the home runs go dry then and you don't have the guys who can kind of sustain rallies, you know, you're not putting pressure on opposing pitchers. You're not scoring enough runs. And it's just been real tough for the Brewers as of late. And then, you remember that bullpen last year, right?
Yeah, it was lights out.
Lights out. Hader, Knebel. You had Jeremy Jeffress in the regular season was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Even Corbin Burns was really good last year, you know, out of the bullpen, the young pitcher for the Brewers. Burns has been miserable. They tried to start him. He just cannot locate his fastball. Corey Knebel is Tommy John surgery in spring training. Jeremy Jeffress, I don't know exactly what happened, but he had a dead shoulder, and he's not the same. He's good, but he's not as good as he was last year. Hader's the only guy who's been as good. Bullpen is not nearly what it was last year. That was an elite bullpen. Maybe once every few years you get your hands on a bullpen like that. So the starting pitching, I guess, all in all, because of Woodruff and Zach Davies, is maybe a little better or you have a little more hope with it, but the bullpen's not nearly what it was. So bottom line, you know, I think the offense can rebound. You're seeing some signs that they might get back to form. But I think in the end, what this team really needs, probably another starting pitcher if they're going to go out and get one. And definitely they've got to figure something out in the bullpen. I don't think it's possible to be as good as they were last year in the bullpen, but they maybe can figure out a way to get at least better than they are now.
Do you think they can go out? I mean, look, there's obviously their players. every year there are players that, especially those who are going to be free agents, that their teams are looking to dump as many players as they can to try to get something from them instead of watching them leave. And do you think the Brewers could take a look at, they're probably not going to be in on Madison Bumgarner or Marcus Stroman, but do you think that maybe, for example, I'm just thinking of Jose Abreu of the White Sox is a slugger who could be potentially available, or Will Smith of the of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that you're hearing as rumblings of someone who the Brewers could be going after?
I think Will Smith is a name, and only because he was a Brewer and he had a couple good years with the Brewers. And so a lot of people remember that. And, of course, Brewer fans want him back, and they need bullpen help. So he's a big name that's really been talked about throughout the first half. And the Giants are in Milwaukee Friday night back from the break. So a lot of people watching that series, Bumgarner still is being talked about, though, for the Brewers. My problem, Sully, is I don't – maybe one or two, one rental. I don't really want the Brewers to go after rentals because – I don't feel like they're so good that they're a rental away from, getting to the World Series. Right. I feel like, if they're going to make a trade, and of course the price will be higher, I'd love them to go after a guy that they can control for one or two more years. Because this window with Christian Yelich, with the Brewers for three more years, that's the window, right? And you want them to be in contention every one of those years. And I know maybe that's not a popular opinion because some fans just want you to go for it. No matter what, you go for it. I don't buy into that. And I think you can make moves to get to the playoffs because it's wide open, right? So you can do that. And then who knows what can happen once you get to the playoffs. Sometimes crazy things happen and you make a great run. But I'm not for selling out your entire, team and system just to make the run this year. I don't feel that good about this team. So I'd hope that instead of rentals, they go after the guy Matthew Boyd in Detroit. He's been talked about a lot. It's going to cost a lot to get him, but he's a burgeoning maybe one or two starter. And, the Brewers certainly, there's some talk about maybe him or other guys. Syndergaard, I know, is being talked about because I think he's signed through next year. So that type of thing is really what I would like for the Brewers.
Okay, well, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about some of my thoughts, and then you may give me a little bit of the temperature of what's going on. You alluded to it, of Milwaukee fandom right now. All right, we're back with Ben Larson of Locked On Brewers podcast. You were talking before our break that you did not want to see the Brewers sell the farm to try to make a run for this year specifically. And I get what you're saying. I have similar thoughts about some of the other teams that are in the National League Central. I made a plea to Pittsburgh and to Cincinnati to basically say, don't sacrifice your, the long-term future. But I encourage them, and I would encourage Milwaukee too, is that if there are things that are relatively low-cost rentals, I mean, I'm not talking about giving up your best prospect. We're talking about someone who may not be even that high on your prospect list and getting a player that's just not going to be tendered at the end of the year to just fill in a hole here or there. Because one of the things that happens, you're not asking a player to be Christian Yelich for 162 games. You're basically saying, can you give us two good months? And sometimes you see players like Steve Pierce with the Red Sox last year, like Cody Ross with the Giants when they won the World Series in 2010, or no one would have predicted. I mean, last year, the two biggest acquisitions that turned the Red Sox to the World Championship were Steve Pierce and Nathan Eovaldi. Now, if you did the, who won the trade deadline last year, I sincerely doubt anyone was saying, well, the Red Sox, they clinched the World Series. They got Steve Pierce and Nathan Eovaldi. So I think that it would behoove the Brewers, I agree with you, to not say, I think Bumgarner, the Giants are going to ask for the sun, the moon, and the stars for Madison Bumgarner. And they will probably ask the sun, moon, and the stars for Will Smith because they know there's so many teams that are out to get him. But at the same time, if there are teams that are just like, hey, we need to just start selling our parts off and you can get them relatively inexpensively, to just patch the holes. Because if there's, take, for example, you would mention third base with Shaw. And yeah. I'm just going to say this because he's right down the 101 from where I'm sitting right now. You know, Pablo Sandoval is having an okay year at third base for San Francisco. Well, okay is better than horrible.
Yeah.
You know, you almost have to look at it like that. Like right now, it's horrible. I don't even know who you are starting at. Who are you starting at third base?
Well, Saladino? No, so here's what happened. Saladino's been playing a little bit short, and he's like 2 for 20 since being called up. So that's tough. But the way they shifted it was they put Moustakas over at third because he had been playing second for Shaw when he came over. So now Moustakas has third base. So they're okay there, and they've got a hotshot rookie named Keston Hira who's up to play second base and a highly regarded rookie. Sully, I think they're okay offensively. I really think that David Stearns, the general manager of the Brewers, not the commissioner of the NBA, former commissioner, but the general manager of the Brewers, he's probably going to go for pitching. If the deal is right, they might add an offensive piece. Wouldn't put it past them. They were very active last year and added Moustakas last year at the trade deadline. But, you know, I got to believe, and to your point about some of these names, I mean, they got Xavier Cedeno last year at the waiver deadline in August. They got Soriano, his name would escape me, but they got him at the trade deadline. Pieces in the bullpen they were able to use. So guys that you don't hear about a lot, I totally agree with you. I think that that's their move. They might get a starter, but, you know, the price is going to be high on that, so they might not. I think they're definitely going to get pieces in the bullpen. Not lights out crazy pieces, maybe Will Smith, but more than likely not, right? Just because of what you said, the sun, the moon, the stars, they don't want to pay that. So they're probably going to get some serviceable guys who maybe you get the best out of and it helps you make a run. I mean, that's more than likely what happens. And so many bullpen moves are made, as you know, at the trade deadline. It's crazy.
And you never know what a player who may be pitching for Detroit or Miami or Anaheim or some situation that the team is just floundering like a fish on the dock. And suddenly you wind up going to a team that's, you know, contending, that you're like, oh man, just the shot of adrenaline or whatever it is. So this is my shot. I do think they should not be in a situation where they are taking it easy, because I do think this division is theirs to win. I think there's something about this Cubs team. Even though they're in first place as of this recording, I don't trust this Cubs team. Yeah. There's something off about them. I think the Joe Maddon situation is weighing. I think he's gone. I think my humble prediction is he's going to be the manager of the Angels next year. But he has an Angels background. You know, let's give Mike Trout an actual manager. I mean, no offense to Brad Ausmus, but come on. And I think that situation is going to be unattainable in Chicago. And I think that I picked St. Louis at the beginning of the year to win the division. And I that pick is not looking good. And yes, it would be fun. I mean, not for you, but it'd be fun for an outsider like me to see a team like Pittsburgh or Cincinnati going, wow, look at them. They stole it. But it's the Brewers to win, I think, even though they're not in it right now. And I think that if you can avoid the wild card game, because even if you win the wild card game, you'd be facing the buzzsaw of Los Angeles in the division series. If you can avoid the wild card game and win a division where 85 wins will probably clinch it, and you wind up probably having to play Atlanta, which is no easy walk in the park because Atlanta's a good team, but you take your chances because you don't know what your window of opportunity is. I keep thinking about Kansas City, whose window of opportunity was really only 2 years, and they wound up, no one will ever look at that and say it was a wasted opportunity. They won it. They got it. The generation gets a parade. Yeah. And they came so close last year to the World Series. Whether or not they would have beaten Boston, who knows? I think the Red Sox were just going to win the World Series last year anyway. But you don't know.
No,
and
you don't.
You don't do something stupid, but at the same time, you have to make these cosmetic changes because the division is wide open. I keep thinking about the 2006 Cardinals, who they won, what, 80, 83, 84
I think it was
83. Games?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they stumbled down those stretch and they didn't look very good. And oh, man, they're going to get clobbered by San Diego and they beat San Diego. Well, it's the Padres, but the Mets are going to sweep them. And they went, well, but the Tigers are a stronger team. And next thing you know, they get to dance and they're remembered. An 83 win team is remembered. All people remember that team is that they won.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And so I think when the division is this wide open, you know, the chance to be able to at least avoid the wild card game and to get to take your chances, you know, you don't know if it's like the sometimes a team can relax. You saw that San Francisco did that in 2014 when it was like, oh, we're in. So what happened? And granted, Bumgarner carried them through two of the rounds himself personally, but you don't know who's going to, you don't know who a Marco Scudero is going to be. You don't know who a Nathan Eovaldi is going to be or Steve Pierce. Or, you know, every year, a Ben Zobrist, you know, you don't know who that player is going to be.
Yeah, especially with a team that already has been there and gotten all the way to game seven of the NLCS. So they've experienced it before. And that's exactly right. I mean, these things happen. And so you absolutely take your shot at it. And I'll tell you, your take on the Cubs and not trusting them. I totally agree. And I'm not, obviously, I don't follow the Cubs super closely, but it's a huge rivalry, particularly for Brewer fans who always have to deal with Chicago being, you know, 90 miles south of Milwaukee and that whole little brother complex. Yeah. And the fact that the Brewers got to them and beat them at Wrigley Field last year in game 163, I mean, that is, short of a World Series, that is generationally cherished and will be forever. And all the jokes about how the Cubs, you know, took a road trip, but their car ran out of gas at mile 163. I mean, I never get sick of telling those jokes to Cub fan friends. It's great, you know, and that's where Brewer Nation is. So they would love, no matter what, even if it's only 85 wins, they'd love to, we would all love to beat Chicago again and to take advantage of that rivalry. And the Cardinals not too far behind as far as a good rivalry, as far as, you know, Brewer fans are concerned. So,
yeah,
you know, it's, you're in it. And again, this is the window. You have a potential, you know, if he keeps it up, you have a potential Hall of Fame type player in Yelich right now, and you've got him on your team guaranteed for the next 3 years after this. And so that gives Brewer fans so much hope and so much to look forward to. And yeah, who cares if they're mediocre? Go for it. Figure out a way, but you know, don't go for it to the point where you're not going to be competitive the rest of his time here is really the bigger point for the Brewers. But look, so much can go right here for them. It really can. And there's such a long time to go in the season. And you can see where – you can see a path for the Brewers.
Yeah.
To your point. They're the most – you know, they're probably the favorite to win the division. Cubs right there, but they're a favorite to win the division. And you can see that path despite the fact that they're sitting here only three games over 500 at the All-Star break.
Right. Well, you said it better than I could. That's why you're host of Locked On Brewers and I'm the host of Locked On MLB. So – hey, this is fun. Let's just start playing games again.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get going. I told you what I, you know, if you listened to the episode I did about sometime last week, I talked about what I wanted, which was I wanted the NL Central to end in a 5-way tie and have all of them be behind both wildcard teams. So it turns into a round robin, you know, season's over, single game elimination tournament. Winner wins the National League Central. That's what I want. I know you don't want that. You want to see the Brewers to win by at least three games so you can have a weekend to relax before the postseason begins. But, hey, look, have fun. Best of luck to the Brewers. And where can people follow you?
Oh, yeah, they can get me in a couple spots. The show Twitter handle, of course, is at Lockdown Brewers. And my personal Twitter handle, maybe you'll love this one, Sully, is at Cheesehead Talks with an S at the end, at Cheesehead Talks. So you can always find me there and always willing to talk about it, get your takes on anything I'm saying and discuss it on social media, just as you do on your Twitter feed. It's a lot of fun to interact with Brewer fans for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, this is a lot of fun. And and as my critics keep telling me, I keep focusing on those Northeastern teams like the Milwaukee Brewers. Hey, listen to Locked On Brewers if you want to follow Ben. He told you where to go. You were just listening to me. Follow me on Twitter at Sully Baseball. You follow the show at Locked On MLB on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. You can follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM. Where else do we get it? Podbean?
Himalaya.
Himalaya. Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about this, but I hear it's free and easy to use.
Oh, yeah. They've been telling me about it. So.
Yeah, so it's something else. Hey, do you know what you should do? Ben, I'm going to give you a tip. I don't know what car you drive, but if you have a smart device in your car, I'll tell you what I do. I get in my car, I shut the door, I buckle up, and I say, play podcast Locked On MLB, because I'm a raving egomaniac and I like to listen to myself while I'm driving. Or I'll say, hey, look, do you know what? I'm going to listen to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I can listen to Ben Carson. Play podcast Locked On Yankees. I can listen to my friend Stacy Gatsoulias. Play podcast Locked On Rangers. We can hear Morgan Price. My God, it's like it's your team every day on the Locked On Podcast Network. I don't know how they do it. I honestly don't know how they do it. But hey, I don't know how you do it, Ben, but I know how I do it. Ben Larson, host of the Locked On Brewers podcast. Thanks for being part of the show. This has been the Locked On MLB podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Ben, what can people call me?
Sully.
Damn right.